Happy Sabbath again. For anyone with a bulletin, I'll be Joe this morning. Our scripture reading is found in Revelation 7, verses 1 through 4. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. May God bless his word today.
Well, good morning, everyone. It is a happy Sabbath, isn't it? Let's begin with prayer today. I have a lot on my mind right now, so Heavenly Father, glorious and wonderful is your name, holy and powerful is your word, and I pray, Father, that you would release the tiger from the cage today and help us to see the majesty of your word. Father, I'm incapable of that, but you are capable of anything, and I pray for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things I've been studying here lately, I've been reading through The Great Controversy. What a wonderful little book that is. And in its pages, just papers on the floor is driving me crazy. I think my OCDs are just taking over here. I just can't deal with that. So one of the things in The Great Controversy, there's a long passage in there that talks about how God is our teacher. One of the ladies this week asked me if I'd watched this preacher or that preacher, and it's not that I don't have a thing wrong. Their preaching is fantastic. It's awesome. It's great. But I'm kind of going the way of James Holloway. I used to tell him just for fun, you know, what other mechanics did to other people's cars and whatnot. And he would get mad at me. He'd be like, don't tell me what. I don't want to know this. I don't want to know what they know. And there's a magical place where when we grow up, and I'm not there yet, I'm still working on that, but when we grow up, where we can throw the crutches to the side and just walk with God and to talk with God and to be taught by God. And that's my prayer for each and every one of you, that where you can cast off the crutches and walk with God and to talk with God, and you know him and he knows you. I'm not going to say that any preacher is good or bad or otherwise. You know, Sean Boonstra, all those guys, they're great, and they're bringing the gospel to the world, and we need to keep praying for them because they're doing a magnificent work. Magnificent. But for me, I want to cast off. I'm still working on this like, okay, I want to be this better person, right? And God says I can be that person, and if I would just snap my fingers and do that, I would. But God says, no. Doesn't work like that. You're going to have a little bit of tribulation, a little bit of trials. You're going to have to work for this. Okay, that's fine. So I've been doing some studying with some of our church founders' books, and not the E.G. White books, so Stephen Haskell, Uriah Smith, James White, some of these guys, just to see where they were. And I've got to tell you, we've lost so much. We've forgotten so much. The things that they know, we have to go back and tell people again. And why do I even say this? Because if we have given a message, Revelation 14, go out and preach the gospel to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, tell them about the Creator, to tell them that Babylon has fallen, come out of her, my people, lest you partake of her sins, right? So if I'm going to go out into the world and I go to the gas station, the guy at the gas pump, and I say, Babylon has fallen, he's going to say, huh? We have to start over. This whole world, Satan is a master at blinding us, even us, those of us who have this word of God, to blind us to what this message is and to what we've come through. we dwell so much on the Jesus loves you part that we don't talk about the other parts of God that are kind of scary sometimes. We should have a healthy respect for God. Never forget, his wrath will fall upon this earth. So, in the book of Revelation, you have the seven candlesticks at the beginning, and then it goes up to the seven seals. Seven candlesticks are the seven ages of the church, the seven phases that the church would go through before Jesus comes again. And the seventh seal is, of course, Jesus returning in the clouds of glory. Seventh candlestick. Sorry, I'm getting confused now. The seventh candlestick is Laodicea, just before Jesus returns again. The seven seals, I want to make sure I say this right, are historical events, markers that when we rightly understand them, we can see the God working through people's lives throughout the different ages, and the seventh seal being broken is the return of Jesus Christ to this earth to take us home, take us back where we belong. Okay. But in the midst of those seven seals, so there's six seals that pretty much lay out the earth's history, everything you need to know that proves the God of Revelation, the God of Genesis, the God of Isaiah and Ezekiel, all coming past. When you see these things come to pass, lift up your heads, for redemption draweth nigh. Those six seals have happened, are happening now. And just before the seventh seal, God placed the entire chapter of the Bible, chapter 7. Isn't that cool? God takes the six seals, and he stops right at the end of the sixth seal, and he puts parenthetically right chapter 7 right in the middle of all that. So before Jesus comes again, before destruction falls upon this earth, Jesus is going to stop what he's doing, and he's going to start ministering to God's people. He's going to go out, and he's going to seal God's people before he returns again. Why are they sealed? He who is holy shall be holy still. He who is just shall be just still. He who is unjust shall be unjust still. Those will be, everybody, person on earth will be given a chance to either follow God or not follow God. And at some point, there'll be no more prayers of contrition that can be lifted up before God where we can find mercy. But at some point, when that's not yet, we're going to have to stand before a holy God without a mediator, without the shed blood of Jesus to protect us. I want to be sealed in that group. Revelation 7. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor the sea, nor any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. That seal is the sign of our obedience to the Father. That seal is what makes us fit, or the seal is a sign that we're willing to follow God and live according to the society of heaven. That seal is a sign that the plagues that are going to fall upon the earth will not fall upon you. Or if you do, you'll feel the effects of it, but you won't be hurt from it. God, we studied that in Sabbath school, that God is your shield throughout these. And we're told, I've been an Adventist for decades now. I'm getting old. I'm getting some gray hairs here. You just keep showing up after a while. Your hair turns gray, and you're like, what happened? So I've been an Adventist for decades, and I just learned a week ago or 2 weeks ago that this Revelation 14 started to begin to be fulfilled in the year of 1848. Have you ever heard that before? I'm fascinated by that fact. Our church founders, our church people said this. What was happening there? The world was under turmoil. The papacy had just been taken captive, the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. The stars fell from the sky, a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. The Lisbon earthquake shook in the late 1700s. Every single thing was falling lockstep. And here, because of the Reformation, because of the Word of God that was released to the people, suddenly, in Europe, there was 16 16 countries at one time that was all vying for their freedom at that, with this very same time. 1848. And we don't talk about it anymore. We don't talk about how these things were fulfilled anymore. We just go back with the Jesus loves you sermon. Jesus loves you. You can do anything you want. Jesus loves you. These people were sealed. And I saw another angel having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom was given the hurt to earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God in our forehead. I'm out of my slides here. Did you know there's a companion scripture that goes along with this? You may have heard this sermon. Maybe you haven't heard the sermon before. I've heard this only preached one other time. And all the decades I've been going to church, I've only heard this other scripture read from the pulpit one other time. Shame on us. This is Ezekiel chapter 9. Who was Ezekiel? Ezekiel was one of the children of Israel that were carried off to Babylon. He was one of the people who was preaching the word of God. Isaiah was preaching the word of God, trying to prepare people to say, look, this Babylon is coming to take you captive. Go with them, go with them. And Jeremiah was another one of saying, or Isaiah was like way, when the people were still living normal lives, he was telling them, Babylon is coming. Jeremiah was saying, he's coming right now. Ezekiel was one of the captives that was taken off into Babylon. He was preaching the word of God in Babylon. And I'm just going to read this without comment, just right straight through. It's only just a few verses. Start at verse 1. And he cried in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side. And when they went in, they stood beside the brazen altar. So where are they? They're in Jerusalem. They're standing at the temple, at the brazen altar, the place where the Lamb was crucified. Wait, that's a comment. I'm sorry. I'm going to keep reading. I thought I was going to read without comment. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was to the threshold of the house, and he called to the man clothed with a linen, and he had the writer's inkhorn by his side, and he said unto them, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark on the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And to the others he said in mine hearing, go after him and through the city and smite. Let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began with the ancient. They began at the ancient men, or the holy place, which were before the house. And when they said unto them, defile the house, and fill the courts with the slain, go ye forth, that ye went forth and slew the city. And it came to pass while they were slain, and I was left, that I fell upon my face and cried and said, ah, Lord God, wilt thou destroy all thy residue of Israel, thy pouring out of thy fury upon Jerusalem? Then he said unto me, the iniquity of this house, of the house of Israel and Judah, is exceedingly great, and the land is full of blood, and the city of full of perverseness. For they say, the Lord hath forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not. And as for me also, my eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense them their way upon their head. And behold, a man clothed with the linen, which had the inkhorn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as thou hast commanded me. Verse 4, it tells you quite a story here. Tells you something about God. We think of like, oh, God's going to, we sing happy songs and Jesus is going to take us to heaven. It's going to be great. But we don't talk about verse 4 here. Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. Do we watch the news and we say, Lord, how long? Do we listen to the radio? Or do we just kind of laugh when we hear about a bank being robbed? Do we giggle if the robber gets caught or gets shot? There's a bar here in town where they shot a guy one of the burglars, and they had a party afterwards. And you know what? The burglar had it coming. I'm not going to say that he had anything, but for the people to have a party afterwards, that we don't sigh and we cry, we don't look at sin and we go, how long, oh Lord? That's the difference, but that's what God works with. It's not whether you kept the Sabbath perfectly or whether you told a lie. Are you willing to be led of God? Do you have a conscience that hasn't been seared? We are buffeted every single day with murders, mayhem, theft, and it's such a common thing that we don't even lift an eyebrow anymore. If there's only six murders in Chicago this year, or six murders in Chicago this weekend, we go, oh, that was a pretty good weekend. Really? Really? That was a good weekend? What kind of world do we live in? Place a mark on the foreheads of them that sigh and they cry for all the abominations that are done thereof. We have something very wonderful given to us, and it's called a conscience. That's the place where God speaks to you. That little voice that's inside your head says, that's not a good idea, don't do that. Listen to that voice. One of Steve's rules to live by, number 4, 5, says, if you think you probably shouldn't, don't. Okay? Have you ever said to yourself, well, I probably shouldn't be doing this, but I'm probably, you know, don't do it. You'd just be better off. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you saying, don't do this. So how does Satan twist an entire world? This whole world is being groomed for destruction. And we don't even know it. There's abominations happening around us. There's abominations happening in our midst. There's abominations happening in our families. There's abominations happening everywhere. And do we sigh? Do we cry? I hope you do a little bit, because that's the Holy Spirit working with you. But if you ever just push that away, you're pushing God away. Then why does it matter? My clicker now does not work. Harlow, could you advance the next slide there? I should. I'll try that. We've been told in prophecy in Revelation 13 that this country is going to form an image to the beast. This country was founded on something wonderful. And let's go there. It's Revelation 13. And just so in case you don't believe me, Revelation 13. Revelation 13 begins with the sea beast that comes up out of the sea. It has 7 heads and 10 horns, and it dominates the entire world for 1,260 years. And about the time that thing goes into captivity, this beast, Revelation 13, rises up, verse 11. This is us, by the way. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. 2 horns like a lamb. You know what made America great? So back, remember I told you that the 4 angels, that they began their ministry of holding back the winds of strife in 1848, that because of the Reformation, because of what the work that Martin Luther did, nailing his things to the thesis before him, Huss and Jerome, they had done their work before that. The word of God has always been carried through. And it began a Reformation that changed the world. So right around that time, late 1700s, early 1800s, governments of the earth started casting off their monarchies, one after another, after another, after another. And what pattern did they follow? Our Constitution. Because the Word of God does 2 things. It brings you freedom. It gives you freedom because now you have God as your king, and now you listen to him, and morality and conscience come from God, and that's where real freedom lies. Okay, that's what America was founded on. The other thing was republicanism. I'm not talking about the political party that we vote, some of us vote for, that make me sick sometimes. I'm talking about republicanism, where we choose our leaders. And if we don't like him, we get rid of him. We get another one. You're not stuck with him for the rest of your life. On these 2 things, we have a marvelous freedom. That's where the middle class came from. It's so the rich didn't have these rich kings taking all the money, and you only had rich and you only had poor. because of these freedoms that were given by God himself through his ministry. You see, in 1848, this angel was holding back those winds of strife. But those people, they had been in bondage for so long, they fought it for a little while and they went back. So God had to rise up a new country in a new place that hadn't been before, so that way he could to make something special. It had to be us, because we didn't have this old history to fall back into. Okay. And it's very sad, because it says, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. What is this telling me? Our country is going to go back, and we're going to be every bit as tyrannical, every bit as harsh, every bit as cruel as it was, as life was during the Dark Ages. And if you don't believe me, you need to take that up with God, okay? That's what Scripture says. Somehow, we're going to continue on with the semblance, with this idea that, yeah, we still have elections. Yeah, we still do these other things. Yeah, we still have freedom of speech. But in reality, you don't, okay? Our freedoms are slipping away every day, a little bit at a time, and our consciences are getting seared, and we don't even notice that we're in decline. Where are we headed? We're headed to the tyranny of the Dark Ages. And our conscience, the liberty of conscience, that was what was one of the founding principles of this country. The fact where I could go live in a place, and as long as I'm not hurting other people, I'm fine. Leave me alone. And it works. You know why it works? Because we have the Scriptures. The Scripture says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not covet. So if Jesse has a nicer car than me, I'm not going to go steal it. I don't care. I'm glad you have a nicer car. That's awesome. Good for you. But I'm going to live my life. I'm going to be free, because I don't steal. I don't cheat. You can go through all the Ten Commandments, and you'll have real freedom. Every year, our government makes more and more and more and more and more rules, trying to dictate our conscience, trying to tell us that we shouldn't murder people. Well, duh, I knew that a long time ago. So if you make the jail sentence a little bit longer, do you think you're going to stop murders? No. So what's man's answer to that? More power, more tyranny. You're too stupid to take care of yourself. You're too stupid to follow the dictates of God. So you have to be told by somebody else what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. Sounds heretical, doesn't it? And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. You want to know something? America is special. United States of America is special on this earth. We have been given one of the greatest gifts ever given to mankind, the freedom to follow God as we see fit. To follow, whether to live according to the liberty of our conscience. To live free. And I don't care if someone has more of me or less than me. God has given wealth to people so that they can be a blessing to others. Verse 14, and he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by those means, those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast that they had which had the wound by a sword and did live. That is the very same power from the Dark Ages is Rome. And I'm not, look, I've, for years and years and years, I didn't want to say that the papacy was the Antichrist, and now I say it. I say it everywhere. I don't hate people, and I don't hate people that are in that faith, because if that's all that they have, they're better people than we are sometimes. But if you have this, the Word of God, you have been given the greatest gift. People have died. People have literally died so that they could have a copy of this. And what do we do with it? We form an image to the beast. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image should both should both speak and to cause as many would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Tyranny. That's where we're headed. This is where this country is headed. I've been political in my life before. I've been non-political. I watched the news. I didn't watch the news. And you know what difference it made? Zero. I suppose I've raised my blood pressure by watching the news as much as I quit. I just stopped watching the news. And I still vote, but sometimes I wonder why. Because we still have a part to do, okay? God's telling us just to give up, throw our hands in the air, and walk away. But I hope and pray that you can see the sign of the times. Because those four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the winds of strife, this world has been ready a few times. World War I, the entire world was at war. And for some odd reason, the war just stopped. And you know, people have different explanations on what that happened in that year, and this battle was won. The angel said, enough. And we've had kids fighting in our own yard where my wife would go out there, you, go home. You, go in the house. That's what happened. The angels, there's these four angels standing at the corners of the earth, tell the children of men, stop. This is enough of this. War broke out again in World War II. The entire world was at war. And that could have been the end. But God's like, not yet, not yet. We have people to seal. Those who sigh and they cry. Those who have a conscience that hasn't been utterly violated. Those who will still listen to me. Those whom I love, I am going to save. And he causes all, both small and rich, great and poor, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that by no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark. Tyranny. This country is going to become tyrannical. And we're just getting started. We're just getting started, folks. We think, you know, all these things that are going on now are bad. Just wait. I love this quote. John Adams. Our Constitution was made for a moral and religious people. It's wholly inadequate for the government of any other. If we won't be led by the Spirit of God, then we're going to be led by the devil himself. We're going to be led through executive order. We're going to say we have a constitution. We're going to say we have a Supreme Court. We're going to say we have a congressional leaders that we voted into place. But all in reality, it's just there to let you believe something that, I'm not struggling for words here. Sometimes I think there's two different political parties so that you believe that you have a choice. Think about that one for a little while. To trick you to think that you actually have a choice. But in the reality, in this, believe me on this one, so goes the individual, so goes the country. So goes the individual, so goes the church. The strength, this church is strong because you are strong. This church is strong because Jesse is strong, because Vivian is strong. And together, we are strong together. Revelation 18. Revelation 18 is a repeat of Revelation 14. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven. Verse 1. Come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen, has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For the nations all have drunk with the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed her fornication. We are seeing in these days the leaders of Rome meeting with the captains of industry. They're meeting with the makers of the COVID vaccinations. They're meeting with the makers of technology. They're meeting with the banking system and preparing us for something that's still yet to come. And do I hate Catholic people? I do not hate Catholic people. I do not. But the scripture tells us here, Babylon is fallen, come out of her, my people. And he's telling the Protestant churches as well, the Protestant churches are every bit as lost today. Sometimes, it doesn't happen very often, but I go out and I visit other churches I've been to. Well, I won't say the name, but I went to another church and not far from here. And I just thinking, what part of the Bible are you preaching from? I mean, they had communion with, they were just tearing pieces off of a loaf of bread. And I think, wow, we're not. And I guess I feel judgmental in that moment. And they're doing the best that they know. But have we turned our back on the Bible? The Bible says, do this, follow this. This is the way, walk ye in it. And the world says, huh? That's the message for today. Babylon is fallen, come out of my people. It's the cage of every hateful bird. God doesn't like this confusion. He doesn't like us when we don't follow the word of God. He doesn't like it when we're not going to, when we say, yeah, I love you, I love what you give me, but I'm not going to follow and do what you say. How is that preparing for heaven? Here's something you haven't heard preached before. In Revelation 13, we're familiar with this one here. We were just there. It says, he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Verse 17, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the same of the beast as the number of his name. Here is wisdom, let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. This number is 666. And if you go back and you read some of these church founders, Stephen Haskell being one of them, he was saying, we preach the three angels' messages, right? They starts in verse 6, I do believe. And I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven. So the first five verses of Revelation 14 is a continuation. The Bible author, the Bible, people who compiled the Bible in this particular format, chapter 14 really needs to start in verse 6. Just saying. You follow on Revelation 13, okay? It says 600, 666. And then God finishes the story. He says, and lo, I looked and lo, a lamb, and on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his father's name in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters and the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These were they which were not defiled with women. That is woman in Bible prophecy is a church, so you weren't defiled with false doctrines. You weren't defiled with Babylon. You weren't with the confusion of this world. For they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These are the redeemed from among men, being the firstfruits unto God and to the Lamb. That's where that chapter should end. You want to be there on that day? Are you tired of the, do you sigh? Maybe I don't enough. Maybe sometimes I hear something terrible and I laugh at it. I guess I need to have my heart softened by the Holy Spirit of God. To have a conscience that listens to God. To have a conscience that is led by God so that we can walk with him and that we can talk with him and that we can feel what he feels and see what he sees. This is your mission. To have a conscience. That's where real liberty lies. To have God as your king. And when the government gets tyrannical and it starts telling you that you have to do this and you have to do that, you can just stand there and say, yeah, no, though he slay me, I will not. We will not serve your gods. Because that's the fortitude it's going to have to take. We're already giving up a little here, giving up a little there. One of the things that the guy on the radio used to say is like, what percentage is it fair for the government to take of your taxes? Trick question. Because if you say any dollar amount, okay, 5%, 6%. If you say it's okay for them to take 6%, it's okay for them to take all of it, okay? So, That's what you're saying. We should follow God to the utmost and to follow the rules of men, because God put these people on this earth to punish. He put wicked rules. This is, again, to some of our church founders that I've been reading about. God allows immoral leaders to walk upon this earth to punish immoral people. When people have to live with under their own rules, their own way, they can see that it's broken and that the system doesn't work. Can you see that the system doesn't work? And we are living in a time when the angel is going about with this writer's inkhorn, sealing the saints of God. Pray, therefore, that the Lord will work on your heart, that you would be ready on that day, that you could see what God sees, that you could hear what he hears, that you would have a conscience that could be led by God, and to work with the leaders of this world wherever is possible, and wherever it's not possible, to have the shield of God to stand that test, because you're going to need it. Satan's going to become more and more cruel. Satan's going to become more and more deceptive, and says that that he should deceive even the very elect. Our only safety is in the cast all of the yuck that's in our lives at the feet of Jesus, and hold on to him with both hands. You can't carry the weight of the world in your arms and try to hold on to Jesus at the same time. It's not possible. It's my prayer for you today. It's my prayer for me is too. We haven't seen anything yet. Things are really going to get crazy here in just a little bit. Let's pray. Father, glorious and wonderful is your name. Awful and terrible are your judgments that are going to come upon this earth. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to look beyond the deceptions of the devil, and to not allow ourselves to be groomed for destruction. And Father, I pray that your Spirit and that your Scriptures will become brighter and brighter every day. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.